Starting Up with Virtue Zone on Dubai I 103.8.
Hey, it's Starting Up with Virtue Zone live here on Dubai I 103.8 FM. And good afternoon to one and all. It is a Thursday afternoon, Starting Up with Virtue Zone. What do you do? We come together to, well, proffer you some good advice. How do you start up your company? How do you hashtag become your own boss? How do you scale that company? When's the right time to get out of the company? All these questions and more are answered by the good team at Virtue Zone. This week, we have Denisa alongside us. Been a busy week down at Virtue Zone HQ.
Always busy. I always say that, but it's true. Always busy. We're doing new things all the time. Ramadan is around the corner, so that's exciting.
Exciting times as well. And a special show today in honour of International Women's Day, which is going to be celebrated around the world tomorrow, but of course should be celebrated every single day of the year. I suppose question to the VZ team is, how big of a role do women play in ensuring Virtue Zone's ongoing and enduring success?
I'm actually very proud to say this. We are almost at 50% women in our company. And it's exciting. I don't know how many companies can say that, but it really goes to show that gender is not a thing.
Exactly that. Yeah, especially when you are dreaming big and looking to help others as well. Look, we've had so many female business leaders on this show. All amazing, all inspiring. It's an indication that there's a growing support for them to thrive across the Emirates. Some key stats then for you from 2022. Women contributed 20% to the UAE GDP. 47.5% of SMEs are owned by women. One of them is with us here today, joining us in studio to share her success story in our success spotlight is the creative director of Akoku, a creative agency here in the region, Tara Bakshi. Tara, thanks so much indeed for joining us.
Hello, hi. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a privilege. So a bit about my background in film, animation and computer science. It's quite a unique mix. So I studied design and I studied computer science. So that put me in this kind of unique place where I could do the technical side and the arty side. I went then to work for a large visual effects company in London, in Soho, where we created visual effects for large Hollywood films. Subsequently, I moved to the BBC, where I was doing the post-production for a lot of the shows spanning from history, factual, science, and primetime entertainment shows. And so how did Akoku start? One day, a friend called me while I was at my full-time job, and she said, she used to work for Google. Mm. And she said, I have this project. It's the deadline's in 2 weeks. Do you want to do it? And I was like, okay. So I kind of took that opportunity, and I worked all nights, all evenings, in my lunch break, and I did it. And weirdly, that two-week project paid me a lot more than my monthly salary at the BBC. So it was a bit of a no-brainer and a bit of an aha moment. And so the next day I quit my job at the BBC I started Akoku.
So you started Akoku whilst in Dubai, or were you still back in the
UK
then?
In London, when I was in London.
So how did you get to Dubai? What was the transition to Dubai?
So my husband Liam, who's with us here, he moved to Dubai with his job, and he sort of worked in a similar field. And I was ready for a change. And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. So we moved here, and it was a bit of a big deal because I'd never been to Dubai, and the first time I came here, we were moving here. So it was very exciting. I mean, I still continued working for my clients in the UK. But as you know, came here, people are super friendly, met loads of people for coffees, people introduced me to people, one thing led to another, and Akoku Dubai started.
You mentioned that your husband, Liam Page, is alongside us as well. Not just husband, business partner, top employee recipient as well, and of course the experienced consulting lead at Akoku. Liam, thank you so much indeed for being with us. Talk us through a couple of the recent projects that you and the team have been working on.
So more recently, I suppose some of the more interesting ones, we did a lovely project with for COP, so one of the big automotive companies in region, were e-mobility partner for COP. So we actually did a shoot where we were taking 60 electric vehicles from the desert through all the way into COP site at Expo. So we had many drones. We had rolling road closures for like 10, 15K. Basically setting up a story called The Silent Parade. So it was quite an artistic angle, focusing on the beauty of silence. So the nature from the desert and coming in and how much the cars don't disrupt that. Mm. So that was quite a cool one. And then that sort of came out of nowhere with a client that we know and love. Other things, we've recently finished up in Sharjah Visitor Centre with BR. And then a bit further afield, but regionally, we do some quite interesting stuff, or have done some quite interesting stuff with Ericsson and STC, which is more for events like LEAP or Mobile World Congress, where we design and deliver the tech experience for them in multiple areas.
A lot of listeners out there, Tara, will be thinking, well, in fact, this is a question for both. You know, the dynamics of living and working together at the same place. A lot of people say, yeah, could do it. Absolutely no problem at all. I could found a company. I could work with my husband or wife, respectively. What are the pros and the cons of working with day in, day out? With your husband. Ladies first and foremost, in honor of International Women's Day.
Be kind.
So I think there's a lot of pros. Firstly, I think we both have the same goal. I trust him 100%. I don't think I could trust business partner as much as I trust him. Like I said, we have the same goal. It's really exciting working together, building something for us and for our family. And the cons
are talking about POs at 7:30 in the morning.
I think we have a strict rule now. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. we don't talk about work. So that's our time with our kids, and we try not to talk about work. But 9 p.m. is like, have you invoiced this? Have you invoiced that? It's back to work. But yeah,
is that a challenge, Liam?
No.
Leaving work at the doorstep or not?
Yeah. To be perfectly honest, it is. And like I said, we've purposely tried to carve out set times. It's very much a nice thing if we can get it. But like I said, we've got young kids, and I don't want to miss their growing up because we're too focused on this. And I believe running a company together actually gives us a lot more time with them, which, you know, talking to family who, you know, family who are our children's cousins who are a bit older. Yeah. They sort of not instilled that, but in many conversations of you appreciate the value of that with their kids being older, how quickly all of a sudden your little kid is 20 and they don't want to spend any time with you. So that is a big pro, I would say, is we work hard, we work long hours, but we also get to dictate our own time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the growth of the business, if we can. And as I said, you know, born out of the UK, but scaling here in Dubai at the moment, that transition from geographies, Tara, has that been beneficial to the business?
I think I love Dubai for no deadline is too short. Nothing is impossible. It's just a great place to it's a land of opportunities. It's great. I mean, I do love the UK. There's a lot of creative stuff that happens there as well. But I feel the opportunities we've got here, we didn't get in the UK. So it is the land of opportunities, and I love the pace. And thank you to all our clients. It's been great.
Yeah,
is that something you've noticed, Liam? I mean, the creative sector is something that, you know, is still fairly nascent to a certain degree here. But we are seeing more and more talent coming here. We are seeing more and more clients respecting some of the work being done here as well. Do you see potential growth here?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Since I joined Akoku 4 years ago. Akoku is maybe 7 years old. And in those 4 years, we've grown at least 100% each year. At least. So now we're still recruiting. We're still looking for more people. And everyone I speak to, from clients to suppliers, the start of every conversation is, we're so busy. Mm. We are so busy. And it just feels that there's, as Tara said, there's so many opportunities. There's so many people willing to take a punt, take a gamble and do something. And I have to say, when we do projects elsewhere,
the speed is not the same and the energy is not quite the same. So we thrive on that. I think Tara probably more than me, that pressure deadlines, it brings out the best in her for sure.
And Tara, to you, in honour of International Women's Day, one of the reasons that we've come here together again, I always feel a bit nervous about making these comparisons. Nothing to say that, you know, you can't get ahead in other parts of the world, but is there a sort of sense that you've got a good support network here for entrepreneurial women looking to get ahead, looking to get support as well once they're set up?
Yeah, I know for sure. I'm a part of a lot of WhatsApp and Facebook groups who are so supportive and so helpful from dealing with clients or legal matters, or even if you're just a bit down and business is slow, you just chat to them and everyone supports each other. And especially during COVID, it was great. Like, I mean, I know work was slow for everyone, but it was such a good space just to like big each other up. And it was great. So yeah, and we all are in the same boat. Most of them are mums. We're juggling 100 things with kids, work, school. So yeah, we're all in the same boat, and it's really inspiring. There's a lot of badass women here, for sure.
Denise, do you concur?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was actually curious, and I wanted to ask, because you're managing a team of, you know, designers, technologists, artists, and I'm sure that requires a very unique leadership style. So how do you foster creativity and innovation within the team?
I think the key is, firstly, is to find the right people. I think secondly, with creatives, I think it's important to give them space and to give them the freedom to explore their creativity. But then I think it's important also to push them a bit to get that creativity. Sometimes if you're pushed, you kind of, and if you're out of your comfort zone, you can come up with something that you wouldn't if you were just totally relaxed. So yeah, I know I get the best out of my creativity under like high pressure jobs, like Liam said. So I thrive in that. But yeah, but I know everyone's not like that. So yeah, it's a balance act, I think, to give people the space and that freedom and push them when they need it.
And for people looking to set up here, to start up specifically in the creative space, from what you've learned here during your time, what advice would you proffer to them? A lot of people listening in, thinking about, you know, taking the jump, jumping into the deep end with their own startup as well. What's the best advice you can proffer?
I think I would say no project is too big and no project is too small. Even the smallest project, you could get something massive out of that. So I would say treat all projects with full integrity. Also, I think put yourself into your client's shoes. Your client has a boss. Your client has another client. Your client has someone they're trying to impress. So if you make them feel comfortable, 100% comfortable, and do that with complete integrity and make their lives easier, you're winning. Yeah, you're winning, and they'll keep coming back to you.
And Liam, so, advice from you?
I think, yeah, to add to that, if you do those things, and we truly believe, we put the client at the center of everything we do. Yeah. We really put ourselves in their shoes and work with them. If that involves pushing back, then that involves pushing back. But from the perspective of setting up, I feel if you do that, I would say 95% of our work is repeat work. And if you're doing that and you're doing that right, just push the button, set up. There's VirtuZone. There are other companies out there for company setup that will assist you in various guises. But there is an element of taking the plunge.
Yeah.
But if you truly believe you're doing the right thing and you're treating your customers and your clients with integrity, honesty, just do it.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It won't fail.
There can be so much of that sort of imposter syndrome, and people think that they're not big enough, they're not good enough for that sort of project or that sort of client. But if you don't say yes, if you don't take the plunge, you'll never know, will you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just be honest and go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
Eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, guys, we could talk for hours on this one as well. Final thoughts in terms of the future for Akoko. What's next? What's in the pipeline, Liam?
So the pipeline, we've got, I can't really talk specifics about the pipeline.
No worries,
but
we've got doors always open, you can always come back when you can. But
we've got a couple of really interesting projects. So we've just started with a professional services, one of the big four. a couple of projects up in Emar Square, and also potentially a very big one for the refurb of one of the Expo Pavilions.
Wow.
From a pure sort of tech experience perspective. And then on top of that, there's another big one with a big developer in Saudi, which we've won but not yet started. With those in hand, I don't know where we'll be next year. Maybe it's more than 100% growth.
Well, listen, there's plenty more of 2024 to look forward to, that's for sure. The future looks very bright indeed. Tara, final thoughts from you. Again, on the occasion of International Women's Day, what was your phrase, Ariane? What's your advice to the badass women of Dubai's business community out there?
I think go for it. You'll never regret it. Just do it honestly, with integrity, and go for it. What's my line? Do what you say and say what you do.
Yeah, that's the best way to leave it. And I suppose the other question lingering at the moment, will Liam be getting Employee of the Month again this month or not?
It'll be the first time.
you put me on the spot here now.
Yes, is
the answer.
Listen, great to have you both with us here in studio. If people want to find out more about Akoko, what do they do? Where do they go?
AkokoDigital.com and... OKOKU_digital for Instagram.
That's where it's all at. Bless you. Thanks so much indeed for being with us on the occasion of International Women's Day tomorrow. Enjoy that, but equally enjoy your weekend. Ramadan Kareem as well, just around the corner. So to you both, to you, Liam Page, and of course, Tara Bakshi, thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
This is the Starting Up with Virtue Zone.
This is Starting Up with Tom Urquhart and Virtue Zone.
Business set up with no regrets.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, Tom Urquhart here, and joined by the Virtue Zone marketing manager, Denise Alexei. And this is Starting Up with Virtue Zone right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Denise and I are today celebrating the achievements of business women here in the UAE, shouting it from the rooftops.
Yes, we are very excited, very proud. You know, I have a little line that I say, whatever a man can do, I can do it, but on heels.
Yes.
Well, almost everything.
Well, yes. We also have to acknowledge that, you know, whilst we have made huge strides forward, a lot more has to be done in this particular area. And joining us in the studio to navigate this discussion is an award-winning figure who's played a big role in many initiatives that support female entrepreneurs. Business Development Manager of the Dubai Business Women Council, a non-profit entity that sits within the Dubai Chamber structure. Nadine Di Francesca, now joining us live here in studio. Nadine, thanks so much indeed for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have
it's
you
a
on
pleasure.
Board. No, tell us a bit about the council, how it was set up and why it was set up.
So it was established in 2002. Under the leadership and guidance of Her Excellency Dr. Raja Al Gurg, who is a very prominent businesswoman herself. And the whole purpose of setting up the Dubai Business Women Council at the time was basically to bring in successful businesswomen from the UAE and set an example to the rest of the world, especially to the Western countries, that the women of the UAE are all about business. They can manage their own funds. They're actually doing something with their lives. As the get-go, it was just to erase the false idea or misconception that certain countries in other parts of the world had about this region and specifically about the women of Dubai. And with time, the council started developing and growing. Today, we have around 750 members on board from 84 nationalities, and they represent different industries. Most of them are entrepreneurs or women who have their own startup businesses, while there's another percentage of them who are actually women in senior positions in the corporate or the government sector. Mm-hmm. So we have quite a nice mix of business women who are part of the Dubai Business Women Council. And what we do is we try to create programs and initiatives for them to make sure that we continuously develop and hone their business skills while also connecting them to like-minded women and men in the business ecosystem of the UAE to make sure that there's a continuous networking opportunity and possibilities for growth and partnerships and business development.
Denise, I mean, in your day-to-day work, and we often talk about the network that is Virtue Zone and that is setting up businesses as well. Are these the sort of organisations that you push your members, your clients towards?
Yeah, we can do that from, you know, offering advice kind of thing. We also partner up with a few investment companies and crowdfunding firms, and we support that. We always push it. We also try to get our clients to network with each other and leverage that. And actually, I would love to do something for our women client base as well. A little bit of a networking. I think it's a great idea to get everybody together.
Let's talk challenges, if we can, Nadine, about, you know, some of the challenges, because there will be challenges. There still are challenges. There are challenges whether you are male or female, and when it comes to starting or trying to start a business here in Dubai. Specifically, though, for expatriate female entrepreneurs, what are the big hurdles still?
Okay, so when it comes to challenges or obstacles that startups or entrepreneurs face, and this is based on our experience, and personally, I've been involved with the council for 12 years.
Yeah.
And so over the years, I keep hearing the same common denominators, the same kind of challenges. The first is sometimes it's not easy navigating the local business landscape, because it could be that sometimes there's an unfamiliarity with certain regulations pertaining to certain businesses and industries. That's one. Second is, of course, there aren't enough platforms for funding, or access to funding still remains something of a challenge for expatriates, business women. And a third challenge, which I think is a very big one for women and for startups, is balancing the work life equation. And I think this is a global issue, not just here in the UAE, but still, because Dubai is vibrant, it's competitive, there's a lot going on. Starting up a business is not easy as well. So women just find themselves struggling, trying to create some kind of a balance between their professional and their personal lives.
We're going to take a quick breather now. We're in conversation with the Business Development Manager for the Dubai Business Women Council, a non-profit entity within the Dubai Chamber structure here. Nadine DeFrancesca is with us. This is Starting Up with Virtue Zone, live on a Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to Starting Up with Tom Urquhart and Virtue Zone.
Business set up with no regrets.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yep, myself and, of course, Denise Alexei from Virtue Zone, the marketing manager down at Virtue Zone, are with you through all the way till 2 o'clock this afternoon. We've been joined by a special guest on the occasion of International Women's Day, which is celebrated tomorrow. We are talking about female-led businesses, the challenges that they are facing, with the Business Development Manager of the Dubai Business Women Council, Nadine DeFrancesca, who's alongside us. And I want to talk funding, if I can. It's always a topic that crops up when we're talking startups, when we're talking anything on the Starting Up with Virtue Zone show. According to Magnet, the research firm which focuses specifically or largely on startups, in 2023, only 23 startups in the region with at least one female founder secured deals. That was 2023, last year, compared to the 101 peak back in 2021. WAMDA also acknowledging that female-led startups are heavily underfunded here. Is that fair?
In terms of being fair, no, it's not fair. But do we need to do something about it? Yes, quickly, and yesterday before today, because the amount of amazing creative startup ideas from women are quite a lot here in Dubai. And I speak from the council.
Yeah.
But we still have an issue with access to funding. And while this amazing city continues to offer a very dynamic business environment, securing funding still remains at the top of the pyramid of challenges for these startups. These barriers exist due to, I can only think that the reason why this is pursuing is There are factors such as unconscious biases in investment decisions. They're still going on. There's very limited access to networks that are traditionally dominated by men. That's still going on as well. And this, despite all the efforts that are being putting into gender diversity in entrepreneurship and promoting diversity and inclusion in entrepreneurship, these disparities are still ongoing. I can only see that if we work harder with the government and the private entities or individuals as well to try to address unconscious biases in investment decisions, create some kind of regulations or policies or something that would support that, or fostering a more inclusive ecosystem that empowers the women to actually succeed in entrepreneurship. So these are two things that could be somewhat a relief, but it's going to take time. Mm. And the only reason I say it takes time is because the mindset needs to be changed. Mm. And to change the mindset, you're going to need a lot of influence from the top down. The leadership is the biggest support of this country. But when we talk about startup funding for women, then we're talking about all the women, the expatriates and the Emiratis. And I really congratulate the country because they provide so much support for their women on so many levels. And they do have certain funds that they can go to, such as the Khalifa Fund, Dubai Women's Establishment. So Emirati women are really endorsed and supported by the government and their leadership. And kudos to that. However, we need to try to find something to also provide some kind of funding support to the expatriate startups here in Dubai. And as we were discussing off the air just a few minutes ago, there's a lot of them these days. And as I said, some of them have brilliant startup ideas, but they're still lacking that funding support.
Mm. I find it interesting, especially when we have this comment. And again, I made the point earlier on that, you know, we are speaking about this subject on the eve of International Women's Day. And great, it's great that we're having that conversation. But, you know, this is something that you campaign for 365 days of the year. It doesn't have to be one day of focus, etc. But I think something really interesting you say there, yeah, a lot of people get bogged down in the funding side of things. And yes, that can be an issue regardless. But that whole need for a sort of fresh approach to this as well. You know, the very narrative of startups and things like that. I was just thinking when we were talking a little bit earlier on, you know, you were talking about some of the great initiatives out there, the need for greater mentorship and things like that. Why do we call it mentorship? Why can't it be womentorship as well? You know, it's this sort of male focus all the time and taking it to sort of different levels.
That is fantastic. I think I'm going to hijack this and I'm going to start using it for the Dubai Businessmen Council. So there we have it. My team's listening in. So ladies, we have some work to do. We're going to shift the name from DBWC mentorship to DBWC womentorship. So I think, no, listen, mentorship is very, very important. And as I was saying earlier today at another speaking engagement I was at, you do not have to have something official from your organization that says, okay, here's it, sign these papers. We would like you to, you know, be part of this mentorship program. You want to mentor, you can do it. Mm. I mean, I mentor my team all the time. Mm. I get mentored by my boss whenever I get the chance to sit and talk to her. My husband is one of my mentors as well. So there shouldn't be like a systematic approach to it. Just go for it and speak to whoever you think could really add value in your life. But when it comes to mentorship, we're very passionate about that at the Dubai Businessmen Council because we've seen the proof in the pudding. Through the mentorship cycles that we've brought to the members, we were able to see amazing results. Results in, first of all, the confidence level of the members is boosted.
Yeah.
Second of all, the access to the information that they were given was phenomenal. Some of them were even introduced to diverse networks through their mentors.
Yeah.
So it's like somebody really taking you by the hand and helping you try to overcome weaknesses that you're suffering from in your business or in yourself, which were serving as obstacles to your growth. And so I think it's imperative that everybody gets into a mentorship program.
Tanisa, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm actually very interested. We talked off air as well, and I was telling her that I did attempt at starting my own business a few years ago, and I had no, I mean, I was unaware of any potential support, mentorship, a women's group, or any group for that matter. And we were talking about how we see this increase in entrepreneurship, the culture overall. And I was curious, how do you market this? for, you know, people who are women or men who are looking into starting a business in Dubai? If I were to start today, how would I find more information about joining the Dubai Business Women Council?
You can always visit the website, dbwc.ae, and we're also on social media. We're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. I can't say much about Facebook, but, you know, we're quite active on our social media platforms. But when it comes to advertising, we don't really market the council because we rely on word of mouth. Because if I have somebody like you join the organization as a member, and you're adding so much value by just, you know, maybe providing us with ideas, by being part of our mentorship program, by coming up with solutions to certain, you know, challenges that some of the members are facing, just creating that, you know, ecosystem of great women coming together, you will bring in another person who's like you, a friend, a colleague, a relative, a neighbor, or whatever. So we believe that the power of this word of mouth connection can really bring in the right caliber of businesswomen to be part of the council. We give so many programs. We train so much. We help them so much accelerate their businesses. And in return, what we want is we want also members of the council to reciprocally give back to this community.
Yeah.
There are so many people out there listening in for advice as well. And who better to proffer that advice than the business development manager of the Dubai Business Women Council? Nadine, I mean, again, let's take advantage of what we come together to discuss today. Let's take advantage of what we celebrate tomorrow as well. But what is your message to the female entrepreneurs out there? Those that haven't made the jump there yet, those that still have that burning ambition as well, those that are trying to work out whether this is the right time or not to make a jump into their passions. What's your message to them?
My message to them is, first and foremost, you need to remain authentic and true to yourself. This is very important. You cannot allow any circumstance to shake that or change it. Another thing is you need to stay hungry, hungry to learn. We are living at an age where we're rapidly being introduced to all this generative AI and this new wave of technology that's taking over everything we do. So we need to educate ourselves. How do we do that? The best way to do it is either by reading, by surrounding yourself with a group of people who can make you more or make you better. And of course, affiliating yourself to a network or an organization who can actually help you be amongst these people who can empower you and help you learn. So also very important advice that I also want to give out to everyone is the importance of compassion and empathy. Still, human relationships and human contact is very, very important. I don't think anything can beat that. It's also very important that you integrate the element of compassion and empathy in order to secure really good, long-lasting, positive relationships moving forward. And it even helps with the way you pitch your businesses. If there's authenticity and compassion in your voice and your tone and everything that you do, you're more trustworthy. And when you're trustworthy, everybody wants to work with you. Everybody wants to have you on board or partner with you.
Nadine, we're going to ask you to stick around if you can, because I know that you are doing a lot of work in the sort of AI sphere at the moment, specifically with regards to startups. The reason I'm going to ask you to stick around is because we've got a couple of questions coming in with regards to AI and AI tools. We'll address those with Nadine and, of course, with VirtuZone next.
This is Starting Up with Tom Urquhart and VirtuZone.
Business set up with no regrets.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, going to wrap things up with our special guest. We've got Nadine Di Francesca, the Business Development Manager, the Dubai Business Women Council, joining myself and Denise live here in studio. This is the Company Clinic where your questions are answered by the VZ team. The reason that I have asked Nadine to stay with us is because we've also received a couple of questions on a similar topic from listeners out there today. Remy's been in touch with us midweek asking what AI tools can I use to make my work more efficient. And as happenstance and circumstance would have it, we've also had Brian De Francesco get in touch with us on the show today asking about how can Dubai businesswoman get up to speed on all things AI. Brian, thank you for that one. The mentor is listening out there this morning. Oh, sorry, this afternoon. So AI, a couple of questions on AI. Let's get some hot takes on that one.
I mean, from a marketing perspective, or any perspective, from a marketing perspective, we've really embraced AI in our office. I think we've talked about this before. But just off the bat, just to give you an idea of some of the things that I think everybody should use as an entrepreneur or creative, ChatGPT-4, the paid version, mm-hmm. that's a game changer. It can do design. It can write everything for you. It does so many things. It scares me how advanced it is. And if you're in a creative... In the creative industry, I use Opus for my video editing and podcast editing and all of that. It's a great tool. Copy AI, it writes emails, it writes newsletters. But one thing I would say, use them, but don't let it do your job because it's not at a level where it could replicate real expertise. So I will use these tools. I will take what it gives me and I'll go and edit and tweak and add that human touch because I wouldn't just specifically use that and run to the market with it.
What's the DBC home take or house take on AI?
So we've been quite active in that space in the sense of, you know, putting together workshops and training programs exclusively for our members to educate them about AI. First of all, we need to demystify something that's going on, which is this misconception of some of our members coming to us and saying, oh my God, AI is going to take over our businesses. We're going to lose our jobs. That's not how it's going to be. What we need to do is equip these business women and educate them about what AI can do for them to facilitate the work, to make the work more efficient, more impactful. And of course, it requires less time. Now, for startups, it's excellent because they don't need to hire more people and their overheads won't be so high. But one of the initiatives that we're doing for the account Council members is we've launched a couple of weeks ago the Sayyidati program. And Sayyidati in Arabic means my woman or my lady. So it's a female word. Mm-hmm. But the AI in it represents empowering our members through AI. And what we're going to do with Oracle is we are going to be working closely with their experts and we're going to be putting together a 12-month continuous program that will educate the members who are part of the initiative on everything AI. Mm. And it will tap into all the industries, finance, legal, HR, anything you can think of. So the whole point of this is to empower them with the knowledge, teach them and train them on using certain skills, and of course, integrating a couple of mentorship programs within the 12-month period. We aim to accelerate around 500 business women through Sayyidati.
Amazing. Listen, ladies, I could talk for hours on this subject. I can't thank you both enough for joining us live in studio. Nadine, first and foremost to you, if people want to find out more from or about the Dubai Business Women Council, where do they go?
dbwc.ae.
Happy International Women's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Love your time this afternoon. Thanks for joining us on Starting Up with Virtue Zone. And, of course, to you, Daniela, in terms of all things, Denisa. Sorry, Daniela, Denisa. No,
who's Daniela?
I'm just getting my names all mixed up on today. Denisa, if people want to find out more about all things Virtue Zone, what's the best way for them to go about it?
VirtueZone.com or at VirtueZone on all social platforms.
We can't thank you enough. Happy International Women's Day, my
thank
friend.
Thank you in advance.
Best of luck this evening.
Thank you.
Good on you. Right, that's another Starting Up with Virtue Zone. Do tune in again next week, Thursdays, 1 through till 2. Have a lovely International Women's Day tomorrow, and we will see you next Thursday. Bye-bye.